But it is a beautiful evening out there. Welcome. A couple brief announcements. The new Calvary Chapel magazines are in. They're on the metal shelf over here by the door. So grab one of these. It's pretty cool to see what the Lord's doing. There's a huge article in here on the Maranatha music movement that was taking place in the 70s and just the wonderful work of the Lord there. Really cool. Some really cool articles in here. So make sure you grab one of those. Also, just a reminder, if you miss any messages or you want to find out what's happening at the church, events, if you miss a sermon, study tools, it's all available on our website. Everything's free of charge. It's at www.calvarychapelpalmdesert.com, where you will find sermons, events that are happening. There's some really cool links to some Bible study tools and just really helpful websites to help encourage your faith. So awesome website. Check it out. Also coming up for the junior high and high school students, June 22nd, we are going to be heading over to Calvary Chapel, Marietta, the Bible College there. They have a conference center for a praise and worship for the junior high and high school. So I encourage anybody who has any teenagers in their family to get them signed up. The sign up is back there. We will provide the transportation. We'll meet here. We'll provide food, the transportation, and it's going to be a wonderful evening of praise and worship for the junior high and high schoolers. And just so that, you know, because oftentimes, especially with our youth, I work with the youth here in the church, and over the years I've seen one thing is common. Well, there's a couple things, but one is the kids do not know what praise looks like. And they wonder, well, what does praise look like? And the other thing is, what does surrender look like? They have no idea what surrender looks like. And so it's a heavy charge for those of us who are parents, grandparents, to walk out our faith, even as we're going to talk about tonight. It's a challenge to truly walk out our faith and walk out what we read in the Word of God. So this event coming up, it's called Revo, and it's based off Romans 12:2. This is going to be an awesome event. And anybody who has any teenagers in their family, get signed up. This is free of charge. And they get a chance to go be with hundreds of other teenagers who are there to just praise and worship the Lord. And it's very powerful. And the children will be blessed. It's going to be a wonderful time. Also, a reminder that Ladies Bible Study, led by Dawn Ivey, will be starting up. It'll be June 11th through June 30th. July 30th, it'll be Tuesday mornings here in the sanctuary. If you would like to sign up for this, ladies, there is a sign-up sheet back there. So please sign up for that. That will be starting soon. And I believe we have some bulletins over here, and on the inside of the bulletin is an insert for the ladies' Bible study. It's got all the information on there. So check it out. Now, with all that aside, let's get into God's Word. Amen. We'll be in Acts chapter 19 tonight. Will be the key focus of our study tonight. Will be Acts chapter 19, 17 through 20. You know, when we think about the word response, when we respond to something, when we react to something, oftentimes we can think, well, it's raining, it's cold outside, so I'm cold. It's hot outside, so I'm hot. But when we think about our reaction and how we, what our response is to the love of Christ when Jesus enters into our heart, when we have a true encounter with the living God, what is our response? And as we're going to read tonight, our response should be surrendering everything, absolutely everything. Because according to the scriptures, that the scriptures say that Jesus purchased us with a price. He shed his blood for us, and he purchased us. Meaning that for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we no longer belong to ourselves, but we now belong to him who loves us and died for us. And so tonight we're going to be challenged, as we read in the scriptures, to, even as the title is cleaning house, to really clean house. And not just physically in our houses, but to clean house in our hearts, where Christ should be dwelling, and where should be reigning on the throne of our hearts. So let's open in a word of prayer and we'll get right into the scriptures. Father, we are so grateful and we are so thankful that you provided a way, Lord, that you provided the sacrifice and the atonement we could never pay for. Lord, you paid a price we could never pay. With a love so great, Lord, we ask that you tonight would cleanse our hearts, Lord, that you would speak to us and minister to our hearts. Help us to be transformed closer to the image of Jesus Christ, Lord. We can only do this by the power of your Spirit and through the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for this evening, and we ask that you would help us to change tonight, Lord, that this would not be just another Bible study, but, Lord, this would be life-changing tonight, that your Word would just do a powerful work in our hearts tonight. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your faithfulness, Lord, and we expect great things from a great and awesome God. We love you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 19, verse 17 through 20. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came, confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. And so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Verse 17, then became known to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus what became known to them. There was quite an event that just took place. The Apostle Paul, of course, it says in Scripture here, God was working unusual miracles through the Apostle Paul, where even his handkerchief would heal someone. His sweatband, if you would heal someone. And it's not that the healing power was in the object, but even as we've seen with Jesus in the hem of his robe, and we've seen with Peter's shadow, we've seen these different events of healing. It's not the item that's taking place. It's just a point of contact for faith to engage. It's just a place where they say, this man of God, I know he has the faith, and if I could just touch his handkerchief, I could be healed because God is that big and that awesome. And it's kind of one of those type of things. So don't misunderstand this, because a lot of TV evangelists and I got to watch what I say, but there's a lot who will misdrew that scripture and make quite a profit off of selling handkerchiefs. So it wasn't the handkerchief that was doing the healing. It was the faith. And the Lord used the handkerchief, because he can use anything he wants. He used the handkerchief as a point of contact to say, oh, this is where faith begins. If I just touch this, where this holy man, this man of faith was at, then I could be healed by the faith of having faith in God. And so he did work unusual miracles in Paul. But what happened was, it says here in verse 13 of Acts chapter 19, that some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. As I said, there was an interesting event that took place here. And the itinerant Jewish people that I speak of here were those in Ephesus. There was much idol worship in Ephesus. There were charms, statues. It was a huge industry there. You know, if you needed prosperity, they would put a scripture of prosperity in there and sell that. They would carve you a little idol to hang around your neck, anything to try to make a dollar. And so these itinerant Jewish people, these were not men of God. Okay, these people that they speak of, when it says these itinerant Jewish exorcists, these guys were just in it for the buck. And so they thought they'd take it upon themselves, knowing that there was a man who was demon-possessed. And as I've shared before, oftentimes, Hollywood has nothing on God. And what Hollywood is trying to do right now in softening and dulling our senses to what's going to take place on this earth very soon, and the reality of it all can't compare to what God was doing thousands of years ago. Even with Ezekiel and the bones and all this awesome stuff that God is doing. And so, yes, there was a demon-possessed man. And so seven of these guys thought, oh, well, we'll just make a few bucks here. And we've heard Paul that he's casting out demons in Jesus' name, so we'll just use the Jesus whom Paul preaches. We'll make a dollar off it. So these guys go, these seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest who did so, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Now, of course, these men were proclaiming the Jesus whom Paul preached and trying to claim that authority, but we have no authority in the name of Jesus unless we are believers in Jesus. And these men were lacking their relationship with Jesus Christ and trying to play off of somebody else's salvation, if you would, somebody else's faith. Oftentimes we see that even in the church, that there are those even in the church, well, I believe in the Jesus that Pastor Joe preaches or Ryan preaches. I believe in that Jesus. But is that Jesus your Jesus? There's a big difference in knowing who he is and accepting who he is into your heart. Because many people know, yeah, Jesus, he was a good man. We hear that. Good teacher. Oh, he was a perfect man, I've even heard. But he wasn't the Son of God. And so these people here at this time, these seven men, were proclaiming the Jesus whom Paul preached without having a relationship with him. A very scary place to be. And so the evil spirit answered and said, hey, I know who Paul is. You know, I know who Jesus is, but who are you? You have no authority. Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them. One man, demon-possessed, prevailed over these seven men. And check this out. So that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Really gave them a good beating. They went running off naked. This demon just jumped right on them. They had no authority. They had no blood of Jesus. They had nothing going for them to take authority into these things. Now, the Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I believe, according to scriptures, that a Christian cannot be demon-possessed. A born-again believer filled with the Holy Spirit of God cannot be demon-possessed. These men, however, were not believers. This man who they went to was obviously not a believer. But they still tried to claim the name of Jesus without knowing who Jesus is. And that is a dangerous place to be. That is a very dangerous place to be. And so this is what became known both to all the Jews and Greeks. I bet it did. Dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. You know, when we come to Christ, as we're going to see here with these men, the fear of the Lord that starts in our heart. That this is like the beginning. Oftentimes for many of us who came to faith in Christ, it was when we were at the bottom of our rope. We had no more rope to hold on to. We were at the bottom of the pit. I know, speaking for myself, I came to a point where I literally had nowhere else to turn but to Christ. He literally removed every path that I could have taken, and I praise him and thank him for that. But he brought me to the end of myself before I could realize who he was and how desperately I needed him. And so these men here, as we read in verse 18, so after these men, the fear fell upon them in a good way. The fear of the Lord is a good thing, is a good thing. This is a good fear, a healthy fear of the Lord came upon them. And look at this. The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. You know, sometimes I pray, Lord, let the fear of the Lord fall on America. Because America has no more fear. We're a reckless nation. You know, we live for today. What can we do and what can we get right now? It's all me, me, me. We have become the most self-centered nation in the world. Because God has blessed this nation, and we have taken his blessings like the children of Israel, we have become spoiled. And consequently, even as the children of Israel, our faith is lacking in this nation. There is no more fear, healthy fear of the Lord in this nation. So the fear of the Lord, it came upon these men. And then check this out. The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many who believed came confessing and telling their deeds. After you have an experience with the Lord, the first thing the believer ought to do or have a desire to do is clean the plate. Okay, it's like the Lord has forgiven me. I'm forgiven of my sins. And now I need to go and start cleaning things up. There's people I need to go to and apologize. And even if they don't receive it, just for my sake, so my hands are clean, to go and apologize. And there's things we do in our life that we have to go back and clean up. You know, we get saved, but we cause a lot of dirt and mud puddles along the way. And God has to take us back through there with a cement truck, if you will, and make a paved road. We got to fill in all those potholes that we made. Yes, we're forgiven of our sins, but oftentimes we got to deal with what our sin has caused. And so these men immediately, the first thing, well, they start confessing their sins and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. I love that. Get all the witchcraft out of there. Anything that's not of God, remove it. And I love what they did. They burned it in the sight of all. Number one, they didn't take and donate it to the thrift shop. You know, they didn't take and give it to your neighbor. Oh, I don't want these anymore. You take them. When I got saved, I was very much into music. I had thousands of CDs and all kinds of music. I sat there snapping every single one of those CDs as I was putting them in the trash. Because I didn't want that garbage to filter onto somebody else. Even if I threw them in the garbage, I'm thinking, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, somebody at the dump sees a big stack of CDs and, oh, let me take those home. I didn't want anybody else. I didn't want to share my garbage from my past with anyone else. Destroy it. Burn it. Get rid of it. And that's what these guys did. They brought all their books. They brought them all together and they burned them in the sight of all. Okay? They weren't ashamed to get rid of this garbage. And it seems in America, and it seems in our nation, that many of us are ashamed of the gospel. It seems that many are ashamed. You know how long it has taken me at times when I'm talking with someone, oh, that's what I do, and I serve the Lord and all this stuff, and God is good. And then 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, it's like, finally, oh, well, yeah, I kind of believe in the Lord too. It's like, why be ashamed of something so beautiful? You know, we have been lied to in this nation. The enemy is a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a thief. And the Bible says that we should not be ashamed of the gospel. You know, do not be ashamed of the love of Christ. Do not be ashamed of his atoning death. This is beautiful in its most purest form, that we should not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And these men were not ashamed to do this in front of everybody. And I have to believe that this was a huge group of people. They just witnessed this demonic force overtake these men. There they go, running off naked. They hear that they were preaching some name of Jesus, a Jesus that Paul preached and all these things. And yes, the fear of the Lord fell on them. I would imagine so. Now, if I had seen that, I would imagine the fear of the Lord would have came upon me very quickly. And these men went out and burned up all these books. And check this out. This is why I believe this was many people. They counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, I was messing around with mathematics and numbers and stuff, and what I came to a conclusion is Judas Iscariot, when he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver was the price for a slave. It was approximately 90 days' wages. So going off of 90 days' wages and minimum wage now and doing the math and figuring out 50,000 pieces of silver, the number I came up with was $8,333,000. So over $8 million in books in our currency. And I was thinking, wow, you know, there's some books in what they call a Christian bookstore now that could go into that pile as well. You know, that, be careful what you read. Seriously, be careful what you read. There are books out there that are blaspheming who God is. And there's just a lot of garbage out there. And I was thinking, well, how many books could we get in a pile for $8 million worth of books and just roast them, get them out of there? But I was, you know, there's a lot of books out there that are steering people away from the truth. There is a lot of them, a lot of them. And, you know, even when you go into a Christian bookstore, you know, you're right up front, you're blasted with all this prosperity and all this really doctrine of demons that are directing people away from Christ, because what they're doing ultimately is directing you away from surrendering. And they're directing you away from looking at yourself and going, I am a sinner and I need to be saved by God. I need to be saved. I'm a sinner. These books will tell you everything except you're a sinner. Everything. Oh, God is good. He's beautiful. Creator of all. Sustainer of all. And you just look to Him and that's it. And, you know, everybody's going to get saved. And, hey, everybody's going to get to heaven because God is so good. God became a sacrifice. He became a sacrifice for our sin. And for these books and all this stuff and this literature that's out to deny the atoning power of Christ for our sins is blaspheming God. And these stores are filled with it, filled with this garbage. But these guys went to their homes and they got everything. And I have to imagine they grabbed every little idol, everything that was not of God, not of Jesus, everything that could have been anything tied into with the demonic forces, witchcraft, the pharmakia, all that stuff. Get it all out of the house and burn it up. Get rid of it. Trash it. And so even looking at this scripture here, we are reminded that when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, He says, to surrender everything. And the challenge tonight for us as believers, and we are being challenged right now, is to clean house. There are things in our homes that are trying to steal our hearts away from God. Whether it's the television, whether it's movies from Hollywood, video games. I'm not being legalistic. I'm not saying don't play video games or don't listen to the music, it's of the devil and all this stuff. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there are a lot of bands, there are a lot of movies, and there are a lot of video games that are trying to steal your heart away from God. And we have to be very, very discerning in our homes on what we allow to be seen. The whole world is trying to steal your heart away from God. It's trying to steal your heart away from God. Clean out our houses. I was thinking to myself today, I was thinking, what if? What if I was at home? What if tonight Jesus came and knocked on the door of your house tonight and said, can I come in? What would you think? Would you be ashamed or embarrassed? Maybe about what is possibly in your home? If you were to check the internet browsing history, what would he find? Would you be ashamed at what he might find? If he were to look through our books and magazines that are on the tables and on the shelves, would he be pleased with what he saw? If he were to watch a movie with us, the latest movies that we have on our bookshelf, would he be able to stand watching it? Because the truth is that we as believers must always have a constant awareness of the presence of God in our lives, that He is with us. And I was challenged reading this and just meditating on this. What was even scarier was when I started saying, well, would Jesus read this book with me? And I do this often. I do this often. I wish I did it more. But I do this as often, I try to do this as often as possible. Would Jesus watch this TV program? Would he watch this movie? Would he listen to this music? Or would he go to this website? And I was really challenged with thinking, well, what's even scarier is when I started asking, well, would the devil watch this movie with me? Would the devil go to this website? You know, would he listen to this CD? Because if it's not of Christ and it's just of the world, he'd love it because the enemy is of the world. And we are children of God. We are no longer children of the darkness. We are now children of the light. We walk in the light of God. Romans 8:13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, the body, and you will live." Because Ephesians 5:8-10 says, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." That should be our heart's desire. Lord, what is acceptable to you? What is pleasing to you? You see, as I said earlier, the world is trying to do everything it can to steal our hearts away from God, to remove the power that God wants to give us and dwell in us with His Holy Spirit, to remove that power, to grieve the Holy Spirit so that we're walking around defeated. Because what we watch and what we listen to and what our children watch and what they listen to, it portrays whether or not we're living a Spirit-filled life. Because the Bible makes it very clear the things that grieve the Holy Spirit. And they're these things that are ungodly, these things that are of the flesh. And as I said earlier, I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm saying be discerning on what you watch. Because even these children's television shows that come under the radar of G rating are blaspheming God. They're blaspheming God. We must be very careful. We must be discerning. When we come to the Lord, we need to wipe it all out. And you know what's really cool is even tonight, God still, through His grace, we still can get cleansed and still start over afresh. He says, if you just come to me, the Lord says, if you just come to me, that I'll wash your sins, make you white as snow. And the Lord wants to do that in our lives. And I know if we're all honest with between the Lord and ourselves, there are things we need to clean out of our homes. And I'm not talking about the heart yet. I'm talking about our homes. Because the world is flooded in. The world is flooded in and told you you need to have this and you need to have that. You need to have this. And it is so hard to walk in the Spirit in a fallen world that's at the brink of absolute chaos. Because after Jesus comes for His church, which, by the way, He's coming for a bride that's spotless and without blemish. In fact, Jesus even said, when I come, He will come. He said, will I even find faith on the earth? Will I find it? Because the world's blinding us. We're so many of us are walking defeated, and God wants to pour His Spirit in us, literally baptize us in the Holy Spirit, that we're overflowing with the power of God to walk in the Spirit, to walk in victory. But we walk around defeated because what the world is pouring into that water. And our water gets dirty, it gets polluted by things of the world. And we were reading this book, The Calvary Road, an amazing little book, and we were discussing a topic in there of how God wants to overfill us. He wants us to be overflowing into others. He wants to pour our cup so it's overflowing, but He won't even come by the cup if it's dirty. We need to clean ourselves. We need to get clean. We need to get things out of our house, things that will distract us from God. More importantly, things that will steal your heart away from God. And how many days do you go? This is between you and God. How many days do you go before you really take time to pray to God, to spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes just talking to Him? How many days go by at a time? It's a challenge. You know, How many days in our week get ripped off? How many days of the week does the world take away from God? How many hours in the day does the world have our attention? And how often does God get our attention? Not just Wednesday and Sundays. It's not just Wednesday night and Sunday morning. We so desperately, so we can be the people of prayer that God wants us to be, and we can walk in the light, and we can walk in victory, and we can walk filled with the Holy Spirit. We can walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. He wants us to walk that way, but we need to clean house. And there are things that we need to clean up. There's already things, even today, getting the message put together, and over the last few days, I'm getting challenged. I'm going to have to make some changes in the house. There are things that are stealing my heart away from God. There are things that are taking too much time. And, there's just so much coming into our homes. There's so much via internet, cable television, movies, music. They got Netflix now, these things where you can have something playing 24 hours a day. Just streaming. They call it streaming. And I'm like, I guess that's a good word for it. It's like, here it is, streaming this filthy water into our homes. You know, all through Scripture, God commands us to die to the flesh. Really, literally, even in the Old Testament. You remember it was King Saul with the Amalekites. You know, Saul was being disobedient to the Lord. God kept showing him grace and kept giving him a chance to repent and do right. And, of course, God commanded Saul to wipe out all Amalekites, to wipe them all out from livestock, children, everything, wipe them out. And, of course, in Scripture, the Amalekites were a type of the flesh. God was saying, wipe it all out. Don't leave any of it. And, of course, he disobeyed. He disobeyed the Lord. He kept all the best of the livestock, you know, the best goats, you know, all the best of everything. He even let the king live. And what happened, you know, through all that? Well, you know what? Let's go to the story because we got time. This is important stuff. So, turn with me to 1 Samuel 15. First Samuel chapter 15. That's such a cool sound when you hear all the pages turning. It's a wonderful sound. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. And now therefore heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel. How he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. And do not spare them, but kill both men, women, infant, nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." And so Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. And then Saul said to the Kenites, "Go and depart and get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul attacked the Amalekites. And from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the land, and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the best of the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good. And they were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. So Saul disobeyed the Lord. He said to wipe it out. As I said, throughout Scripture, when we see the Amalekites, they're a type of the flesh. And God is saying, wipe out the flesh. Wipe it out. Get rid of it. Of course, at this point in time, King Saul, of course, was starting to lean on his own understanding. He was starting to make his own decisions without the Lord. He was already disobeying the Lord, and yet, the Lord still gave him another chance here. Of course, he did not obey. He left the king alive. He left all the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings, the lambs. He kept all that stuff. And so now, verse 10, now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Paul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Oh, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed a commandment of the Lord. Saul. But Samuel said, What then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, Oh, those, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, Speak on. So Samuel said, When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? And now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed, wiped out. Why then do you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek, I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder and the sheep and the oxen, the very best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to your Lord, to the Lord your God, in Gilgal. So Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings as sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed or listen up than that of the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. We flash forward a few hundred years. Many of us are familiar with the book of Esther. Many of us are familiar with a man by the name of Haman, wicked Haman. They even have the Feast of Purim to celebrate the deliverance. Haman, this wicked man, almost wiped out the Jews. He was on a mission to wipe out all the Jews in the book of Esther. Haman was a direct descendant of King Agag, great-great-grandson, just a few back, but a descendant directly from King Agag. And so the picture here is when we don't wipe out sin completely, when we don't clean our house out completely, all it takes is one small thing to come back around and then overtake us. And then we find ourselves consumed by whatever it is. There are so many things that are trying to steal our heart from God in this day and age. We must be discerning. We must be wise. And in order to have that discernment and that wisdom that comes from God, we must, and I've, I stress this with all of my heart. We must be in God's Word and know what God is saying to His children. We cannot walk around uneducated in the Word of God, because everything else will wipe away. The heavens and the earth will pass away, but the Word of God, or the Word of the Lord, remains. His Word is truth. It is eternal. We must know the Word of God. It's the Word of God that feeds our soul, that strengthens our faith. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and that hearing the Word of God to strengthen our faith, to give us the strength we need, the courage we need, to stand up against the wiles of the enemy. And the enemy is all around us. We must be discerning, and we must wake up. We must wake up and see what's happening around us. We're no longer the children of darkness. For those of us who are born again, who are believers in Jesus Christ, we are no longer in the darkness. And now we are children of the light. And the Bible says that as children of the light, we are supposed to be dispelling darkness around us. Literally translated, punching holes in darkness. Punching holes in the darkness and creating rays of light. But we can't do that if we ourselves are not walking in the Spirit. And remember, we can grieve the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. So important to know that we can grieve the Holy Spirit to where less and less till He's like, I can't. The person, the Holy Spirit, will say, I can't be a part of this. What you're watching on this TV, what you're watching, what you're listening to, what website you're surfing, the Holy Spirit will say, I can't be a part of this. And we, all of a sudden, we're in the flesh. And we're not understanding why everything is going crazy. We have no power. We have no victory. We're walking defeated, and we're wondering why. Because the world is stealing your heart away from God. And that is the primary objective of the enemy. For those who don't believe, it's that they would not come to repentance and salvation. But for the believers, he wants to destroy our testimonies. He wants to ruin our testimonies, because it's by the power of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that has the power. What God has done is what I stand on. His faithfulness, His security, His love, His power. I can stand on that and know He's going to get me through day by day. But the day that I allow the enemy to come in and rip me off and completely destroy my testimony is the day I will find myself defeated. And so it's so important for us as men and women of God that we walk in victory, we walk Spirit-filled, and we know what is in our homes. Secondly, not only do we need a clean house physically, but we need a clean house spiritually. Our hearts become wax cold. Thank you. Our hearts become wax cold to where we're not even hearing from the Lord when we're in His Word or when we're in prayer. Not only that, but our prayers have no power. When we're walking defeated, we're not in the Spirit, our prayers have no power. We need to ask the Lord daily. He says ask. We can ask Him daily to fill us fresh with the Holy Spirit, to fill us overflowing with the Holy Spirit, to forgive us our sins. In 1 John 1:9, which is like the Christian bar of soap, which is good to remember, is that if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, at that point, we can say, now, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me overflowing with the Holy Spirit so that I'm not walking in defeat, but I'm walking in victory. And guide me and lead me today. And then you have power and you have authority when you are cleansed and you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You have authority, you have power in the name of Jesus, and you can walk in victory. Your prayers are direct line with God's will. You're walking in the Spirit. He's using you. You're ministering to people. You're overflowing into people's lives. People who are lost see you and they want to know what you have. And they start talking to you and they want prayer. They want to know the Jesus that you know, because you're overflowing You're overflowing. You're not in the flesh anymore. Interesting story. And I'll try and speed this up. Interesting story, though. The other day, ran into a young man out on the street. And the guy was, he's dressed in the, what do they call that, the gangster look, you know. Hat backwards, do-rag, and listening to like some Tupac or something like that, something that was of the world. And he asked me, I walked by him, and he said, well, he goes, hey, how's it going? I said, it's going good. He goes, what are you, a bouncer or something? I said, no, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And he said, oh, I used to go to church. And I told him what I do, and I got to share with him, and through the Spirit of God, this young man, who was completely lost, invited him to church. But I got to stand there with my arm around the guy and pray for him. Because there's power in the name of Jesus, and even more so in the believer who's walking in the Spirit. God wants to use you. He wants to fill your cup overflowing. But the cup has to be clean. And as I said earlier, I was challenged in reading this. I'm going, Lord, show me what I need to change. Because I'm never going to arrive until I see Jesus face to face. I will never be there. And I know that. I know I will never fully arrive until I get to Jesus. But until then, I can walk in victory if I choose to just submit myself to God. I know I can walk in victory because all of His promises tell me so. It's only my own sin and my own stubbornness and selfishness that would deny me from walking in the Spirit. It's nothing that God has supplied everything. He has made provisions, abundance of provisions. You know, His supply never runs out. He just keeps filling and keeps filling and keeps filling. But He says, just come and ask. You have not because you ask not. That's a powerful statement. Oftentimes, we just don't ask. In closing tonight, my challenge to all of you tonight, and myself, as we look at the interpretation, the observation of the Word of God, the hardest part, and I've shared this before, the hardest part, the application of God's Word, to apply it and walk it out. As I've said before, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. If it was easy to follow Christ, everyone would be. It's a challenge. It's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. We have armor we need to put on. We need to put the armor of God on. We need to get cleansed daily of our sins because we sin daily. I love what John Corson once said about about sinning and that, confessing your sins to God. He said that, well, if I confess my sins, every time I sin, if I confess my sins to God, I'd be confessing sins all day long. He said, exactly. You'll be talking with God all day long. That's the way He wants it. You'd have communion with Him. Of course we need to, though. We need to be cleansed daily. And don't go a day without it. Don't go throughout the day without it. Because sometimes it's right in the morning. You can start off fresh, and by 10 o'clock, after 3 or 4 cups of coffee, you're already, okay, I need to get, forgive me, Lord. Mind's already racing. Maybe watch some political something on the news. Already got in the flesh. We need to be cleansed daily. But we need to be careful what comes into our lives. And those questions I asked earlier, you know, this is real. And that, speaking really to the men in the house, we lead our households. We're the spiritual leaders in the home. To the men, when you're watching something, ask yourself, would Jesus sit with you and partake in watching this? Would He be pleased with what you're introducing to His daughter, your wife, and His children, if you have children? Would this please God? It's challenging. And when you start asking yourself that, you'll find that many things start to be removed. And it's cool. Okay, it's cool. I mean, man, go through your DVDs, your CDs, get rid of the garbage. The things that are coming against God and the things that are completely of the world, and you know what they are, get rid of them. Trash them. And I don't know if you have a property where you can have a fire pit, but if you got a fire pit, burn them. You know, don't give them to someone else. Destroy them. Break them up. Destroy it. Get it out of there. The world wants to steal our heart from God. And our heart belongs to Him. He saved us. He became the sacrifice. No one will ever love you. No one will ever love you the way that Jesus Christ loves you. No one. And no one else is ever worthy of praise and glory than the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He bore every sin on His shoulders for us. Past, present, future. He who knew no sin became sin. To the very word sin, He became it. I would just encourage you to live for God. Live for Christ. Go home. Maybe you got some cleaning to do at your home. You know what? We haven't been challenged in the congregation here in a while to do some cleaning in the home. And I think that this time, as we draw closer and closer to our redemption, I think we need to be challenged to maybe go home and do some cleaning, to get rid of some garbage, get rid of those magazines that maybe even they just have a poster board maybe of some girl or something that your wife has to look at and think she has to contend with. Listen, the enemy is slick, okay? The enemy is a liar. He's a thief. He's a murderer, and he's been doing it for thousands of years. Don't underestimate what he's doing in your home and how he's trying to steal your heart away from God. It's the simplest thing. It's the simplest thing. Websites, you know, they have Christian monitoring websites for accountability. And we have them at the office. My wife is the only one allowed on the computer at home, really. I don't really do any internet surfing at home. I don't really mess with the computer much. But there are ways to have accountability. I heard a staggering statistic last weekend at the conference, men's conference in Chino Valley on pornography and the internet and things that are on the internet. 53%, they said, of Christian men have clicked over and been tempted by pop-ups and ads. And even more stumbling than that was 60% of pastors. The enemy is at work. We must be smart. We must have discernment. We must be the men and leaders of our homes and to know what is allowed in our home and what is not allowed in our home. Because I'm telling you right now, tonight, the world is trying to steal your heart away from God and consume you with something else, something that's going to just pass on by. What did the enemy tell Eve in the garden? You remember that lie, right? Did God indeed say? Oh, he's just holding back something good. Oh, don't worry about Sports Illustrated. It's good. Don't worry about that. There's all kinds of ways that the enemy works. He's a liar. He's a thief. He is a destroyer. He divides marriages, divides homes, leaves children fatherless, parentless. The enemy is wicked, and we must be smart, and we must be discerning. Guys, gals, brothers, sisters, be smart, be discerning. Walk in the Spirit of God and have wisdom. Check out what's in your home. And then I feel like tonight, I believe we're all going to be challenged with this throughout the week. Because you've heard it, you've heard the truth. And what does Jesus say? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that's what Jesus wants to do in our lives, to set us free from bondage of the world. Yes, many of you are saved, and you are saved. You have your salvation, but God has so much more for you than just what's coming in the future. He wants you to start walking in the Spirit now and be a witness. There is a lost and dying world out there who doesn't know Jesus Christ, and they have no hope. Because everything in the world is fleeting and passing away. They have no hope. Nothing solid and firm to stand on. And we have Jesus Christ. And we can share the love of Christ. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in victory. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful. We are so thankful, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would change our hearts. That, Lord, you would give us the strength we need to possibly clean house in our own lives. Lord, we cannot do anything apart from you. But we know that with you and through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And Lord, I pray that anybody here tonight, that you would minister to their hearts, Lord. I know there are those here tonight who just need your power, Lord. They need your strength. And what I would like to do tonight is open it up for prayer. If you would like prayer to come forward and receive prayer, we're here to pray for you, to strengthen you in your faith. And so as the worship team leads us out, if you have to leave, you're welcome to leave quietly, to stay and worship. Maybe you need to sit and pray and seek the Lord. If you want to come up front for prayer, be up front here. Come up for prayer if you need prayer. Anything that's going on, don't leave this place. Don't leave this place without seeking the Lord. And making right now the time that you say, Lord, I want you to cleanse my heart. And I want you to give me the strength to go home and cleanse my house, to clean it up. Because there are things in my life that aren't pleasing you. And we need to change. So as the worship team closes, I'll stay up front here. If you need prayer, come on up. We're here to pray for you. And